T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the Kia Studios morning show on this nasty, ugly, be safe out there kind of Thursday with John and Hugh. Headlines this morning include Zion Williamson and whether or not he should shut it down. And Hugh, you and I are going to be talking about that.
No, he should sue.
We're going to be talking about that too.
Sue.
Certainly, that'll be another talking point in regards to when Zion should do. But we are asking you on our Twitter a couple of questions this morning. One of them revolves around Zion Williamson and whether or not he should, in fact, you know, go pro and not go back to Duke after what happened. Now, we'll find out more when the MRI comes back on his knee. That's one question. You could chop that up at 929 The Game. Other question you could chop up, also one that we're going to open the phone lines for in this hour and try and take your calls here, in regards to the Braves and what they expect out of their pitchers. So we have two polls running, the Zion poll. Second poll is the poll question about the Braves. We want to know, on the pitching staff, who needs to take the next step for the Braves to succeed this season? Is it Julio Teheran? Is it Sean Newcomb? Is it Tuki Toussaint? Or is it somebody else? And the somebody else, Hugh, could be, I don't know.
Somebody in the pitching staff.
Right. It could
somebody
be
somebody in the pitching staff.
Mike Soroka. You could say Kevin Gausman, though I think Kevin Gausman is probably. See, Kevin Gausman and Mike Foltynewicz, I think, are kind of knowns, all right? But you could say that. But I think they're kind of known factors here when we ask about, you know, can Julio become not an ace, but a 14-game winner and somebody who can give you consistent outings, that kind of a thing. With Sean Newcomb, can he regain some form of consistency, and can Tuki Toussaint become kind of a dominant pitcher? And the someone else can either be, you know, like one of the youngsters, you know, Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, Mike Soroka, Kobe Allard, all those guys that are going to be given a shot this season.
Yeah, I think going into the spring training, John, well, being in the spring training, that one of these young pitchers, they're going to get a chance to shine. They're going to probably get a chance to stay up. I think Tuki Toussaint is probably going to get the nod early on to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think Julio Teheran is another guy that has to step his game up. I think that's what the Braves are kind of hoping for, that during this training camp, that somebody could show them a little something that they could probably build up upon going into this season, and they're going to get some opportunities there. I think going into this, that's what their mindset is, because they haven't made any moves, and I know that fans really don't want to hear that, but you got to give these young players an opportunity.
Well, I find Teheran to be such an interesting discussion. And here's a guy that so fell out of favor that he was demoted in the starting rotation to the point where, what did he pitch, one inning in the postseason last year? One?
Something like that.
And it was like a throwaway? It was like,
yeah, you know, because it was late in the game. I think it was late in the game. Yeah.
Right. It was like, okay. From a guy that, you know, started, how many straight openers did he start for you? Was considered, quote, the ace of the staff?
The ace, yeah.
Right, you know?
Was considered the ace.
And then I think it was a fair assumption. Now, he's still, I wouldn't have given you a nickel, Hugh, right after the World Series that he was going to be on the staff at the start of the season, but he's still here.
I think that they believe in him. I think that they have high hopes for him still. He just hasn't lived up to expectations. But the biggest thing that I've noticed from John, pitches better on the road than he does at home. That's a problem. That's a problem, because you would think that, you know, being at home and having that ability to sleep in your own bed, that would be something that would be more of a motivator. Had trouble pitching at home, struggled at home, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, you got to get that corrected. If you can get that corrected, you got a pretty decent player.
You know, Julio's just it worked at Turner Field, because Turner Field was such a big park, you could get away with being kind of a fly ball pitcher, which is what Julio is, you know, pitching up in the zone, and that's what he likes to do. That's where he's comfortable at, which is why he pitches well in parks where, you know, you can get a lot of loud outs, for example, and the ball will die. This is from the time that you and I first went to SunTrust Park, when we were standing in the dugout on the preview day that we were allowed, when they were still building the thing, I looked around and said, uh-oh, Bambox. I said, this is going to be a home run hitter's ballpark. You could tell just by the dimensions of the way it shaped up, you know, from the eye test, that it was going to be a ballpark that would yield a lot of home runs. That does not fit Julio Teheran's game. I mean, unless he wants to kind of reinvent himself.
That's what it kind of feels like, John. And I remember you saying that. I remember us having that conversation, you saying that, because that was a big deal for you, how small the park was. And it was you called it a hitter's park. So, yeah, that playing style. So he has to either adjust to that, or they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with Julio Teheran.
I mean, this is going to be really interesting. So that's why Julio is on this list as one of the pitchers here. It is on our Twitter, at 929thegame. Our question this morning on the pitching staff, who needs to take that next step for the Braves to succeed? Is it Julio Teheran? Is it Sean Newcomb? Now, let's talk about Sean Newcomb. Sean Newcomb, obviously big, tall, strong guy. The heartbreak last year, Hugh, of being one pitch away from a no-hitter the way he was, two outs and two strikes, and he doesn't get the no-hitter. He's got good stuff.
He does.
But we saw him melt down at Yankee Stadium. We saw him. He strikes me, Hugh, that he doesn't pitch well when he gets really hot. I know that sounds weird, but
that was an issue for him. He was a little bit of a sweater, and they had this wicking, like he would wear this this top that would try to help wick away the sweat on him. And you don't want to use too much of the rosin,
mm-hmm.
because they say that the rosin kind of builds up and it could give you blisters or whatever. So yeah, that was a little bit of an issue that he had last year. I do remember that. It's funny that you recall that. But, yeah, that is an issue for him. And they were trying to figure out, why is it that he sweats? He's so much more of a sweater than anybody else.
Right. And it just is in his nature, I think. And so Sean Newcomb, and, you know, being able to take that next step, there's a lot to like in Sean Newcomb's game, an awful lot to like. I don't know that – I don't look at Sean Newcomb and think that he's going to be – you know, a superstar pitcher, but I do see in Sean Newcomb the ability to be a quality starter for a long time.
Yeah, I see that. You know, you talk about Fulton Evans and guys like that. That's why I honestly feel, John, when I look at this Atlanta Braves staff, and the reason why we all talked about bullpen pitching and things of that nature, I look at them and think that's why they haven't really made any moves. Because they're looking at some of the young arms they have, some of the young arms that were pressed into duty last year, pitched probably a lot more than they anticipated. Only thing that I would say that Brian Snicker would probably want is them to go longer in innings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have some good stuff. They start out strong. You just have to go longer and try to spell your bullpen as much as you possibly can. That was one of the biggest issues last year.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about guys like Sam Freeman in the bullpen that they were coming into games way earlier than you really wanted them to come into games.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when your bullpen got taxed a little bit. So, yeah, I think that's what they really want from their frontline starters. If you can get this pitching staff to give you at least six and a half, seven strong innings, then that's going to take a lot of that pressure off your bullpen. I think that's how they're kind of looking at it.
Then there's Tukey. Now, we talk about Julio and whether he can regain form, Sean, whether he can kind of find his, kind of groove and assuming, again, for Gausman and Fulton Evans are going to be okay, that's why we're asking about the other guys. When it comes to the guy that has the potential to be the star, aren't we all seeing that? I mean, there's a reason that Tukey rocketed from AA at Mississippi to Gwinnett to the Braves last year. He has electric stuff. Now, that's the one thing that Sean Newcomb and Julio Teheran don't have. They're good pitchers, but they don't have that electric stuff. Tukey, on the other hand, has electric stuff.
And that's why he got the opportunity that he got last year. Because he does have that stuff. And I think that with time, and I think that's what they're depending on, especially with him. I think it's repetition. With a young pitcher like that has the stuff that he has, it's repetition. You know what I'm saying? It goes back to that old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes a while to build up that stuff and be a dominant pitcher at this level.
Because
mm-hmm. who were they talking about? Was it Smoltz and Glavine? They said that when they first came up.
It took a while.
Yeah, it took a while. So I think that's what they're kind of they're hoping for. That's what they're really hoping for.
And with Tukey, his walks to strikeout ratio was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 2.5 to 1 strikeouts over walks last year, nearly 200 strikeouts at the three levels. And the kind of guy that, boy, you just think that he has a chance to be a pretty big star in the league if he continues to show what he showed last year. And that's why I think everybody's so high on him, is that he comes in and you see the potential of Tukey Toussaint being a guy that could, eventually be, if not an ace, certainly a number two that could be so hard to deal with. Actually, I'm alone in this, and I know that, that I looked at Tuki Jason and said, if he has the makeup, he has the potential to be a phenomenal closer. I mean, that's what.
Yeah, you put him in the bullpen already.
Some guys have been there. I mean,
I think with what I saw last year with the Atlanta Braves and what they kind of did, they would probably move Julio Teheran to the bullpen and allow Tuki to be a starter if his stuff comes together for him this year.
Oh, I'm sure that they're going to give Tuki a chance to start. I'm not saying that I'm right here. I'm just saying that
he
strikes me as
going
being
off
that,
of what you were talking about, like for what and especially for what they did in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I mean, right. I wouldn't make Julio the closer, but he could be your long reliever. He could do that. The seventh inning guy, you know, or long reliever. And now you could pay him an awful lot of money to do that. I mean, because he does have, I mean, that seems a lot of change for Julio Teheran. I want Julio to step up and be the guy. So on this list, here's how I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote for Julio Teheran. And the reason I'm going to vote for it is if the Braves are going to do anything this year, I need Julio Teheran to show me the form of Julio Teheran at Turner Field, okay? He doesn't have to be your ace, but he's got to be that guy. He's got to get back to where he can win you 15 games.
At least.
Because I'm convinced that Mike Foltynewicz has now settled into the fact that he's an unfortunate ace of the staff because this is a staff that does not have an ace. It doesn't.
He's the de facto ace.
He's the de facto
ace. He would definitely be
like
the de facto
Julio ace. Used to be the de facto ace. I mean, and that's all Julio ever was a de facto ace. He was never an ace. He was just the de facto ace.
Well, he was
ace.
Rolled out as the ace.
Well, because they didn't have anybody else.
The frontline starter for every season that I've been here. Since I've been here for Atlanta, he's been the guy that you looked at. They rolled him out first, so he was the de facto ace.
Well, the one thing I don't want is, you know, you've heard about bullpen by committee. I do not want starting pitching by committee because I think that's what we got into a little bit late last year. I mean, they were given a lot of guys chances. Bryce Wilson, Kobe Allard, Tuki. You know, they wanted to see who would stick up here. And so it seemed like that taking Teheran out of the rotation, that it was a little bit of starter by committee outside of the, Sanchez, Gosman, Sanchez, Gosman, and of course Foltynewicz, a little bit of starter by committee, and I don't want that again this year. So we'll see. Now I'm curious how you voted and what you think of the Braves. Who is the pitcher that has to step up this year? 404-741-0929, 404-741-0929. As a staff, they're not the Washington Nationals. They're not even the Philadelphia Phillies, and they're not the Mets. They don't have those two guys that those teams seem to have.
And not only that, I guess this is true with any pitcher. You never know what you're going to get from game to game. You know, like one inning you have Foltynewicz looks like he's starting to come around and gives you 7 to 8 strong innings. And then next game, he probably give you four or five.
Well, isn't that true of a lot of the guys? Like A.J. Minter? I mean, Minter gives you a great outing, and the next thing you know, he turns into A.J. Minter.
Yeah, but I think, you know what's funny, John? I think that's pitching in a nutshell in Major League Baseball. But it's just like we're so invested with the Braves that it's just – that was one thing that we look at for them, especially last year with the run that they had, and really had you kind of like in a tizzy as far as what you got from them from night to night. You just didn't know.
Yeah, you just didn't know. Again, your chance to weigh in here and vote on the poll and tell us who you think has to step up. And you can weigh in on the phone at 404-741-0929. We are presuming, and there's a reason when we put the list here together, that it says Julio Teheran, Sean Newcomb, and Tuki Toussaint. It does not include, obviously, Kevin Gausman or Mike Foltynewicz, and that's because we're going to have to, for the sake of this discussion, make an assumption. Remember, Anibal Sanchez not on the team anymore. But those two are going to have to be kind of your bellwether guys. You're going to have to assume that by the end of the year, Hugh, Mike Foltynewicz and Kevin Gausman are going to give you that 15 to 16. They're going to be the solid guys that you can count on, the dependable guys you can count on.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, who's that third dependable guy you can count on? Is Newcomb that third dependable guy who's going to give you 15, 16 wins? Is Julio going to step back to his form when he was the de facto ace? Is Tuki going to explode as the not? See, here's the thing. Isn't it interesting? If Tuki explodes, Hugh, he won't just explode as the number three starter. Tuki explodes to where he's the dominant starter on the team. You know what I'm saying?
That's a possibility, especially on a team that has a lot of young stars. He would definitely be one of the guys that was thrust into the forefront. No question about that. And I think that's what they want, John. I really do. I think that when they look at the way that this staff came together last year, the surprise that the season was for the Atlanta Braves last year, they want one of those young pitchers to step up. So that way it kind of fits into the model of which they're trying to implement, and that's like have control of these younger players for a longer period of time and try to, within that time frame, win a World Series or two.
Ashley's in Gwinnett. I'm with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Ashley.
Good morning.
So, Ashley, how do you vote in this?
So, I think Tukey's going to come out balls on fire and really show who he is because he never got the chance with AAA. Think about Julio Teheran. Julio Teheran was at his best when the Braves weren't good. Braves come out to be all-stars, and next thing you know, he falls off because he's mediocre at best. He was only good because the Braves didn't look good, in my opinion.
Well,
that's
an
interesting take on.
I mean, so that's why I think, you know, Julio, then she votes for Julio Teheran because that's the guy that has to step up. If you presume, thank you, Ashley, that Tukey is going to do this so that we understand how the poll works here and what we're after. You know, I if you assume that Tukey is going to be that guy, then you have to, you could say, okay, it's going to be Fulton Evich and it's going to be Gausman, it's going to be Tukey. Now I need that fourth guy to step up.
That would be Julio.
And that might be Julio. It might be Sean Newcomb. You know, Sean Newcomb is the de facto number two starter on this team.
Per last year?
Yeah.
I mean, per what happened last year.
I hate using that term de facto, by the way.
Yeah, but it I think it's fitting for the conversation that we're having right now. Because of the way that they rolled out the pitchers last year, Julio Teheran was the guy. And as the season progressed, you slowly start to see that dynamic change. And Sean Newcomb became one of the guys that you looked at that you knew you had a pretty good feeling about what you were going to get when he was out there on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Foldeneva's the same thing. Julio Teheran, when you were on the road, you felt pretty good about his starts.
Right.
It was just at home. That's where the issue was.
Well,
by the way, we need to have more women calling. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was
women
pretty awesome. Thanks, like Ashley.
Yeah, thanks, Ashley. You're the best.
There was that three or four start in the middle, kind of middle-late part of the season after the All-Star break, right around there, that Julio Teheran had that three or four starts in a row where he was, like, dominant and really good.
Then it was like, what are you doing?
And then all of a sudden,
like, what are you
gone.
Doing?
Yeah. Tim and Athens, hang on. 404-741-0929. You can vote at 9 to 9 the game. We're taking your calls. Who do the Braves need to have step up in their pitching staff if they're going to make hay this season? That's our discussion this morning on a very busy, rainy, wet, be safe out there Thursday.
All the latest from Florida and our Atlanta Braves.
Catch our exclusive Braves coverage here. Radio 92.9 the game.
Now, normally we'd be talking about the National Football League, but today don't be thrown here. We just like to play that music because it's cool. We will talk about the National Football League at the top of the 8 o'clock hour when we get back into the Falcons. We are discussing the Atlanta Braves, but you know what? Maybe the Braves ought to use that NFL music for like intros anyway, because it gets you all pumped up and fired up.
No, I don't think they would like that too much.
Well, okay, all right, probably, okay.
They'd like to stand alone.
We'll stick to the Braves music here. Well, we are discussing our big question of the morning, which is about the Atlanta Braves. And on our Twitter at 929 the game, on the pitching staff, who needs to take the next step for the Braves to succeed? And you can vote for Julio Teheran, Sean Newcomb, Tukey Toussaint, or someone else. And then we encourage you always to weigh in on the comments, especially if it's someone else. 44% saying Sean Newcomb at the moment is the guy that has to step up and be that guy. Now, we're presuming that Mike Foltynewicz and Kevin Gausman are going to be kind of your rocks of the rotation. We're looking for the number three guy, the number four guy to be that kind of, or maybe somebody to, you know, because again, you have so many young pitchers on this staff. Because I did this in the break. Ready for this? Julio Teheran, these are the ages. Julio Teheran, 28. Kevin Gausman, 28. Mike Foltynewicz, 27. Sean Newcomb's 25. Luis Gajar is 22, Tukey is 22, Kyle Wright is 23, Kobe Allard is 21, Mike Soroka is 21.
And that's why you don't give up on a guy like Julio Teheran, because he's young, and you're hoping that he'll turn the corner. But yeah, that's a young, potentially good young pitching staff, potentially. So yeah, you can't – it's one of those situations where, yeah, you like a guy like Craig Kimbrell, you would love to have a pitcher in your bullpen like that. But it feels like you have enough young arms that maybe if it works out, you could put some of those young potential starters in your bullpen and make them work that way.
Good. You know, we need 6, 7, 8 guys, right?
Yeah,
and these setup guys.
Yeah, so you
– what do you have out there? Vizca, you know, Carl, Minner, those are the guys right now.
Yeah, you got some young arms, but it's just like you have to – figure out who can do what and then handle that accordingly. Like, this is all about saving money. It's always been about that. Anytime that you have those many arms and you have that much potential, you want to try to ride it out as much as you possibly can. And especially on that, I keep going back to this, but the fact that last year was a was a mulligan as far as potential. I mean, if, as far as what you your expectations for the Braves. Let me say that.
Sure.
As far as your expectations.
We thought it was 500, right.
Yeah.
And they won the
so
division.
So now with that, you're looking at it like, okay, well, let's see what these young guys do. Let's see if we got time. We got time. I know fans don't want to hear that. But in essence, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a potentially having a good team of young players for a long period of time.
Tim in Athens is on with John and talking about the Braves. And our question of the day, who needs to step up? Morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, John and Hugh. All right, so what I would have to say is for the survey, I would definitely say Mike Soroka. And the reason I say that is Mike Soroka, over 10 starts, had a 1.68 ERA until he went to Toronto and got hurt. With Teron, you just got to call a spade a spade. It's been 2 years at SunTrust. He still hasn't pitched very well. I think his ERA at SunTrust is like 6-something. Maybe put him in the bullpen to start the season and, you know, see where it goes from there. Give him some long relief and see where it goes. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tim. It'll be interesting to see what they do. My sense is, and this is only a sense, that the rotation, that Julio will be in the four-man coming out of spring training. The rotation will go something to the effect of, at the moment, he was a first full workout for the Braves today. I think Fulton Evans should certainly your opening day
he's,
starter.
He's an ace. Yeah, I was about to say, what, Sean Newcomb, second?
Second is Newcomb, third is Gosman.
Oh, you're not putting Julio Tehran fourth?
Yeah, putting Julio fourth, yes.
Oh, John, no, I don't think you can do that. And the only reason I'm saying that, because you can't go from first to fourth. That's like, that mentally might
eight
not.
Fourth is a step up from what he was at the end of the year. He was sitting in the bullpen, you know, playing relief bullpen catcher.
Boy, I mean, tell you what, that you know, you I don't know how it is for pitchers, never been one, but I would think that going from your front line starter to the number one starter to being the fourth guy, that might
hey,
that
if
might
he's not careful, he won't even be the fourth starter.
But then again,
if he gets outpitched by Soroka or Tukey,
yeah, but then
he may
again,
be the fifth starter.
You can't really trip because you kind of saw this coming because you weren't one of the active pitchers in the playoffs. So.
Daniel's in Cobb County, and I'm with John and Hugh, 404-741-0929. Daniel, who has to step up for the Braves pitching staff this year?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Big Hugh, man, congratulations, man. Big ups, man. That's a real good look on you, brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
But personally, I think that Julio Tehran definitely has to step up in the beginning of the year because I think out of everybody, I think he has the most to prove being that he was thrown into that starting line fire early on in his career. But I also think that Folti and Tukey Toussaint is really going to come on strong this year. And I think by the end of the year, Newcomb is going to end up being probably one of the best pitchers we have on staff this year.
You know, that's going to be that. If all that happens, Daniel, this team is going to be knocking on the door of the World Series.
Yeah,
and that'd be great.
And I think that's what they're hoping for, John. I tell you, it was like for Sean, though, last year he had one little misstep when somebody went through his Twitter feed
right.
and read some of the old tweets that he had.
Yep.
You know, and when he was in high school.
Yep.
And when he said something, we don't need to go into detail about that, but that was probably his only misstep that he had during the season. And, you know, it was during the time where I forgot who the other pitcher was, but somebody else got in trouble for somewhat similar. So, yeah, that's the only blemish that I could think of that he has on his record from last year. But, yeah, I think they're looking at these young guys to step up and do big things this year.
404-741-0929. Which pitcher has to the most approve? Who has to step up? And, again, we're presuming in our poll that Mike Fultonevich and Kevin Gausman are kind of guys that you can count on, and then are going to be Gausman is now, you know, a seasoned veteran. Fultonevich is now, surprisingly, and it shows you how fast time goes, he is now a seasoned veteran in Major League Baseball. He's going into, you know, his sixth year, and he's 27 years old. He's been around the block a few times. You know, what we don't know is, what are you going to get out of Julio Tehran? Because is he going to be the Julio of old? Is he going to be, again, even Julio of last year? There was that little run of three or four games where
he looked pretty good.
Because, you know, you had Braves. Soroka almost had a no-hitter. Julio almost had a no-hitter. Newcomb almost had a no-hitter. I mean, they had guys that were, you know, knocking on the door of big stuff last year, but they were so Dow Jones. And with Newcomb, you know, you just don't know.
You know what I liked about this squad, though, last year? It seemed like, especially towards the end, it felt like everybody was trying to outdo everybody else. It felt a little bit like that. Like, you know, if you had one good outing, that the next pitcher that came up, they were trying to have the same thing.
That's a good thing.
It felt a little bit like that. It felt a little bit like that.
Tony's in Noonan. He's on with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Tony.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. I really think Newcomb has to take that next step and step up because, in my opinion, for a long stretch of the season, at the beginning of the season last year, he was the best pitcher. He was better than Folty. He was the ace at the beginning of the year for a long stretch. As far as Julio, I don't know about giving up on him, but he's been with the organization a long time. And he hasn't turned the corner, and I just don't think SunTrust is suited for his pitching style. So, I mean, I definitely think it has to be Newcomb to take the next step and take over that third spot.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Newcomb last year, 12-9 for Sean Newcomb in 2018, ERA of 3.90, at times was masterful on the mound and at times really struggled to kind of get his game going in the right direction. And for Sean Newcomb, a lot of it, Hugh, was could he get past? And really, it's the same. See, Fulton Evers is the same way. Mike Fulton Evers really, and I think I want to see the next step of Fulton Evers is to get rid of this. Fulton Evers is one of those guys that if you can get to him in the first inning or two, you can get to him. If he gets, once Fulton Evers gets warmed up and gets into the third inning.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Forget it.
He's a beast. I agree with that. Saw a couple times last year where that was the case. Gets a little flustered, a little rattled early in the innings. And it's hard for him to come back, fight back from that. But yeah, you get him going, he's a good pitcher, really good pitcher.
You know, Julio Teheran has never had a year where he won more than 14 games. He went 14-8 in 2013 and 14-13 in 2014. This year, his win totals: 2013, 14; 2014, 14; 2015, 11; 2016, 7; 2017, 11; and 2018, last year, he was 9-9 with an ERA that hovered around 4. I mean, right now, Julio Teheran, in his career, 67 wins, 62 losses, and an ERA of 3.64. You know, he's kind of
a little bit above 500.
Well, remember at one time, this is unfair to him, because I'll go back to that 2014 season where he was 14-13. He was an all-star. He just didn't get any run support. Julio would go out there and pitch and get no run support.
That was, 2014. But I'm saying, I think in 2017, it was kind of the same thing
right,
as well.
I think so. I think you're right. In 2017, it was the same thing as well. I think you're correct on that, Hugh.
Because I remember being here and talking about him, and it was like, man, he had some pretty good outings, but he just didn't have anybody behind him. So, yeah, it's a tough spot to be in, and I think that's another reason, John, why they have not given up on Julio Teheran yet.
Kyle Cartledge tweets into us at 929 the game. So many young options. Maybe you meant the Braves take the next step with Julio and trade him, which of course the Braves could do. But the problem with trading Julio is, what are you going to get for him? The answer is not a whole lot. You know, you might get a prospect, you know, or two. I'm not sure you're going to get a ton. He's got a pretty heavy price tag for a guy that is, you know, considered to be a mid-level starter in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and you got to see what the new pitching coach.
That's a great point.
He could do it like you know, you got a new pitcher coach and you can see what he could do with Julio.
Right. That is a great point. We Rick Kranitz, who was the pitching coach who was credited with turning Aaron Nola into a stud.
Yeah, in Philly. So yeah, you gotta see that, man. I think that they believe in these young arms and they're gonna try to make sure that they give them every opportunity to be successful before they decide to do whatever it is they're going to decide to do next.
Right, and so it'll be fascinating to see. All right, we're going to get into the top of the hour. If you're here, we're going to roar back into our discussion about the Atlanta Falcons and what Dirk Cutter said about the offense and get Hugh's take on that. We're also going to be talking about Zion and what happened last night with Duke and North Carolina. Next up, though, we don't talk hockey for a reason because not many people are fans of hockey around here. You may be. I like the sport, but hockey needs something. It desperately needs something that it had the other day, and yet it got called out for it. And it was like, okay. But you got to hear this because it's incredible. It's great audio. Next with John and Hugh.
Florida, our broadcast team of Brian Jordan, Joe Patrick, and more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this overcast and kind of gnarly Thursday with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. A lot to get into today. As we mentioned, we are chopping up with you, and somebody said, I got to get rid of chop up too. I said earlier this morning that I had to get rid of de facto. They said, "Hugh, I got to get rid of chop up." And so I,
you know, it's some words that you do use that that have a scratch in our head, but we let you slide with that.
Let's chop it up. All right, we'll talk about it.
Because it's like, when did John Freeman start talking like
chat.
That? Yeah.
But that's how he talks.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't say anything. I don't say anything about it. I just sit back and I might chuckle to myself, but I don't say anything.
All right, we'll have a little chat about what Don Cherry said. All right, okay, you know. All right. So here's the story.
I like that jacket he had on, by the way. Side note. Side note. Just okay. Now you got it back, but that's a nice.
That's kind
jacket.
Of his thing.
Wait a minute. You like that jacket to the point of you would wear it?
I would rock that.
That you Versace would wear that looking jacket that he had.
The man who can't even get a suit for his own ceremony, you would wear that jacket.
You know, back in the day, I used to like to wear loud colors. I was the guy that wore the gator suits and gator shoes. I would wear the purple suits.
But that was Prince and all kind of.
But I'm just saying, that's like wearing suits like that. That's kind of a Midwest thing. Because when I go home. Like
Detroit,
I
look, Cleveland.
Oh man,
that's what
with
y'all
the
do
Dobb hats, with the big hats, they still do that at the crib. Like I go home, man, and cats get dressed up with the pinky ring and the gators. They still do that. So yeah, I'm from Ohio. I'm from the Midwest.
Disgusting.
It's in me. It's still in me. I just like the pajama look. The pajama look fits me better. It really does.
I guess it did today.
Yes, it did.
Bruh.
Here we go.
Some people will actually get that joke.
Shots fired.
Touche.
Yeah. So we don't talk a lot of hockey here. Carolina Hurricanes in Raleigh are kind of an average team. They're kind of on the bubble of making the playoffs. But they have earned a reputation as being kind of a fun team that when they win a game – that they celebrate in unique fashion. Their fans get up and they do. Everybody does a skull clap these days. But then the team will do something on the ice. They'll play baseball. They'll play duck, duck, goose. They do limbo. I mean, they do something as a team, sort of like a big end zone celebration in the NFL. Well, Don Cherry, who is one of the more colorful announcers in the history of hockey, apparently has a problem with the Carolina Hurricanes post-game celebrations and said this.
Let's listen. This is the National Hockey League. Brendan Moore is a good coach. He play. These guys, to me, are jerks. You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing. They better not do this in the playoff. What I don't understand is Brendan Moore is a street shooter. He always was. This is a joke. The rest of the guys, young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. You don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. One of these guys are jerks or something. And I'll tell you one thing. They do this in the playoffs, making fun of the other team.
But nobody's out on the ice. The game's over. I admit, I always liked your theory of when you celebrate when you win only. That's why you liked Muhammad Ali, whereas Sugar Leonard did the
before. Struggle. Now, you don't. If you want to do it before. But that is absolutely ridiculous. I know the rest of the people. I know all the broadcasters and everything are afraid to say something like that. They're jerks doing it.
I kind of like it.
I know you. Well, you're lucky. The weatherman, you know what I mean? I know what I'm talking about. You never do anything like that. They're still not drawn. They're a bunch of jerks as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Don Cherry.
They're still not drawn. That's why they're probably doing it, for they can draw, for so people can see them. You know, this is my take on that, John. I think as an older person that's getting older, you have to let these young kids do what they do. I understand that, you know, there's a lot of tradition that probably goes along with every professional sport, respectively. But it's not the same game that you played. You know what I mean? That's how I look at football. And I look at some of the things that these kids are doing, and I'm like, okay, I played professional football. That's not – the game that they're playing is not the same game that I played. Mm-hmm. It's changed. It's evolved. Allow it to do exactly that. Think about the NBA for a minute. Remember when they used to wear them little shorts, the little itty-bitty shorts, and everybody talked about that, and then they went to the long shorts, and now it's more of the shorts of your choosing now in the NBA. You can wear the long ones if you want to wear them. It all depends on your personal preference. That's just the evolution of the game. That's just the way that the game changed. And then you hear people complaining about how much money kids are making and everything. Dude, just enjoy it for what it is.
Right.
I think that with –
I think it's such a harmless thing.
Yeah, dancing.
Or limbo or playing baseball. If they're getting their fans to take note of them
and if
after
it's something
the game
to
is
talk
over.
Listen, man, I was talking to somebody the other night, and we were talking about, you know, some of the things that are happening with some of these clothing companies and everything. And they said something that made me look at everything in this way. Good or bad, publicity is publicity. And to draw attention to yourself in whatever manner, to some of these people, it doesn't really matter how you do it as long as you get it.
Don Cherry needs to refocus on something, because if hockey's missing anything, it's missing fights. Hockey needs to have fights again. Remember, hockey was the sport where fighting was legal.
Boy. They used to have them cats come out there on that ice, right, boy, and they used to be about that life.
Man, and everybody had a thug, right? Everybody had an enforcer.
They used to call them goons.
Goons.
The goons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you set them out on the ice and you knew what was about to happen, because gloves were going to be dropped and somebody was going to, fun.
It sounded to me, and this is me being a conspiracy theorist, is that it was something, he was mad about something else, because he used that word jerk a little bit too free. Like, he threw jerk out there one time too many for me.
Sounds like he has an issue with the head coach.
He has an issue with somebody. I don't know who it is, but he has an issue with somebody, because if you listen to his rant, he was kind of all over the place.
Yeah, hockey needs the Hanson brothers to break out again. I'm sorry.
The Hanson brothers.
Yeah, Slapshot.
You know what I was thinking about when you said Hanson's? I was thinking about the group.
Oh, M-M-Bop.
M-Bop. 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 Doody-Bop. Biddy-Bop-Bop. Shooty-Bop.
No, I was thinking about those guys with the glasses.
Yay, yay. What happened to the Hanson's? I know Daryl know. Daryl, what happened to the Hanson's, man?
They still perform.
Still making their monies?
Yeah, I think it's two of them now instead of three, though.
Was it the younger one that was singing?
Not for sure.
Okay, but yeah, what I was thinking.
Forget about
thinking.
Those dudes. No, we want to go back to hockey. Needs to have fighting again. I mean, really. I mean, we want it to be a gentlemanly sport. Okay, all right. Yeah. You know, that's
I don't have
it was
a problem.
Fun.
I don't have a problem with celebrating when it doesn't hurt.
When was the last time we saw a good hockey fight?
I don't have a problem with celebrating when it doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't
right.
hurt anybody.
Of course, it doesn't hurt anybody.
Like, nobody was out. No, the other team wasn't out on the ice. Nobody ran up on anybody. Anything like that.
I know.
I don't have a problem with
it. I have no problem with it whatsoever. Hockey needs more everything. I mean, let's keep in mind that it is a sport that needs some attention right now. I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes are a franchise that the Carolina Hurricanes' claim to fame right now is that their owner just paid $250 million to buy the AAF.
Well, be the main chair. Well, he kind of owns it. He's the main chair. Bop, bop, booty, bop. Derek Herbert threw that hit. It was time to go.
Yeah, I can only take so much of this. Falcons are next. Dirk Cutter on the offense, what he said yesterday with John and you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.